despair of failure and ruin. Because of these things, there is a tale to be told, the tale of Cardigan's son, who, when his sire fell in the fray, took up the fight to save his heritage. A tale of life with its love and hate, its battle, victory, defeat, labor, joy, and sorrow. A tale of that unconquerable spirit of youth which spurred Bryce Cardigan to lead a forlorn hope for the sake not of wealth, but of an ideal. Hark, then, to this tale of Cardigan's Redwoods. Along the coast of California, through the secret valleys and over the tumbled foothills of the Coast Range, extends a belt of timber of an average width of 30 miles. In approaching it from the Oregon line, the first tree looms suddenly against the horizon, an outpost, as it were, of the host of giants whose column stretches south nearly 400 miles to where the last of the rear guard maintains eternal sentry go on the crest of the mountains overlooking Monterey Bay. Far in the interior of the state, beyond the fertile San Joaquin Valley, the allies of this vast army hold a small sector on the west slope of the Sierras. These are the redwood forests of California, the only trees of their kind in the world, and indigenous only to these two areas within the state. The coast timber is known botanically as Sequoia sempervirens, that in the interior as Sequoia gigantea. As the name indicates, the latter is the larger species of the two, although the fiber of the timber is coarser and the wood softer, and consequently less valuable commercially than the Sequoia sempervirens, which in Santa Cruz, San Mateo, Marin, and Sonoma counties has been almost wholly logged off because of its accessibility. In northern Mendocino, Humboldt, and Del Norte counties, however, 60 years of logging seems scarcely to have left a scar upon this vast body of timber. Notwithstanding 60 years of attrition, there remain in this section of the Redwood Belt thousands upon thousands of acres of virgin timber that had already attained a vigorous growth when Christ was crucified. In their vast, somber recesses, with the sunlight filtering through their branches 250 feet above, one hears no sound save the tremendous diapason of the silence of the ages. Here, more forcibly than elsewhere in the universe, is one reminded of the littleness of man and the glory of his Creator. In sizes ranging from 5 to 20 feet in diameter, the brown trunks rise perpendicularly to a height of from 90 to 150 feet before putting forth a single limb, which frequently is more massive than the growth which men call a tree in the forests of Michigan. Scattered between the giants, like subjects around their king, one finds noble fir, spruce, or pines, with some Valparaiso live oak, black oak, pepperwood, madrone, yew, and cedar. In May and June, when the twisted and cowering madrone trees are putting forth their clusters of creamy buds, when the white blossoms of the dogwoods line the banks of little streams, when the azaleas and rhododendrons, lovely and delicate as orchids, blaze a bed of glory, and the modest little oxalis has thrust itself up through the brown carpet of pine needles and redwood twigs, these wonderful forests cast upon one a potent spell. To have seen them once thus in gala dress is to yearn thereafter to see them again and still again, and grieve always in the knowledge of their inevitable death at the hands of the woodsman. John Cardigan settled in Humboldt County, where the Sequoia sempervirens attains the pinnacle of its glory, and with the lust for conquest hot in his blood, he filed upon a quarter section of the timber almost on the shore of Humboldt Bay, land upon which a city subsequently was to be built. With his double-bitted axe and crosscut saw, John Cardigan brought the first of the redwood giants crashing to the earth above which it had towered for 20 centuries, and in the form